Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. But today I want to talk to you about something a little bit different. I want to talk about pricing your projects. Have you ever read a post that's left you feeling wholly inadequate because you know you can't live up to the high standards that they lay out? Well, that's the feeling I have whenever I read a post about how much to charge my clients. Recently, Smashing Magazine asked me to write an article sharing my thoughts on how I go about pricing my services, and I agreed without much thought. But when I sat down to write it, I was faced with a conundrum. Do I write what you should do to price your projects, or do I tell the truth about the rather unorthodox approach I take? You see, I've read many posts about pricing a project, from value-based pricing to billing around agile cycles, and they're all great approaches and approaches I aspire to, but have somehow failed to implement. And I suspect, if I'm honest, I'm not alone. So instead of intimidating you with some complex value-based pricing formula or boring you to death with a project Gantt chart, I thought I'd share with you my rather inelegant approach to the subject. Inelegant it may be, but it's allowed me to run a lucrative business for the last 15 years. Now, it all begins by knowing the minimum you have to charge per hour. Okay, so this actually is the one bit of the process that I am pretty professional at, that I do make an effort with. It's important to know the minimum that you have to charge per day in order to live. If you go below that rate, then you're not going to break even, and that's going to cause you all kinds of problems. So you need to know what rate you cannot drop below. So how do we calculate that rate? Well, fortunately, it's not rocket science. You just follow some simple steps. Number one, you estimate or establish a minimal salary that you would be happy with, right? What would you like to take out of the business? How much do you want to earn a year? Now, remember, this is a minimum figure that you need to survive on, right? We can always increase the number later, but let's start with that minimum. Number two, calculate your costs, including any reoccurring costs such as software services, rent, etc., but also include a budget for those one-off costs like that shiny new Mac that you want. Work out how much all of this comes to a year. Right. Also, number three, don't forget to plan for the future. Set aside some money each month for pension and savings. Calculate the total over a year and add it to all of your costs and the salary you want to take. The figure you now have is how much you need to earn before tax. Now, you need to add to that total the tax that you would pay on that revenue. That will give you a minimum figure that you need to actually, in reality, earn over a year. Number five, before we can work out how much we can charge per day, we first of all need to know how many days we work in a year. So that's our next job. To do that, we just follow some simple steps. Subtract weekends, and immediately that brings you down to 260 working days a year. Take off any public holidays that you might have in your particular country, and don't forget that you're going to need some vacation time. So in my case, it's 260 working days minus 10 days public holiday and 20 days vacation time. Right. Now, we don't get to charge out for the whole 230 days. So the 260 minus the 10 minus the 30. That's because we're not going to be able to charge out every hour that we work. There will be other factors to consider too. We're going to need to spend time marketing, writing proposals, doing admin, and managing our finances. So none of those are chargeable. So realistically, we can't really expect to charge out any more than 50 to 60% of our time. All of this work will leave you with a minimum day rate because you'll have the number of chargeable hours, you have the total costs, and you can divide one by another. So the next thing you have to do, once you've got that minimal rate, is calculate how long it's going to take to do a project. And that's where things, to be honest, get a little bit more ad hoc in my approach. Now, Sam Barnes has written an excellent post on calculating the time it takes you to do a project, as have various other people as well. And I recommend that you read these because, to be honest, I just guess. Sure, if it's a big project, I break it down a bit and try to price each part separately. But mainly, it's just a gut feeling of how long I think it'll take. I guess I've got the advantage that I've done this job for over 20 years, so the chances are I've done a similar project before and I know roughly how much things cost. But I won't lie to you and pretend that I've got some clever system, because I don't. I found that for me, spending hours calculating how long things are likely to take, it just wasn't really worth it. Whether I was just bad at it or whether I was just unlucky, but I always seemed to have some curveball come at me that ended up with me, my carefully crafted figures being inaccurate. I appear to do just as well if I take an educated guess. I make my best guess and times it by the minimum rate per day that we calculated early, and that gives me my minimal price for the project. But that's not what I'm going to charge. In fact, if the client was to only pay my minimal price, then in most cases I'll walk away. After all, my calculation for the length the project's going to take isn't exactly accurate, so I am going to need some markup to cover any eventualities that come along. But what my minimal price does tell me is if the project is viable. Because if it doesn't meet the minimal project price, then the project doesn't work. But it's not an amount that the client will ever see. I decide on that price using three very professional factors that I just want to outline now. The first one is what I call the "can I be bothered" equation. You know what it's like. Some projects get you excited and some you couldn't care less whether you do or not. So why not factor that into your pricing? Projects that sound awesome and you desperately want to win, you'll hardly mark them up at all from that basic rate that we talked about. Projects that look like they're going to be as dull as dishwater, well, they get a hefty wedge added on top of our minimal price. That makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Encourages more of the kind of work that you want to do, right? And that you want to become known for and that you're going to love. It might seem unfair, but if the client doesn't want to pay your premium to do a tedious project, then he or she can go elsewhere. The second factor that I factor into projects is the client is an arse tax. Always, always take every opportunity you can to speak to the client before you price their project. Ask lots of questions and get them talking. Do your best to ascertain what kind of client they're likely to be. If you think they're going to be difficult to work with, then let's be honest, I think you should charge them more. Again, this makes sense. Demanding clients require you to put in more effort to deliver, and so you should charge them a premium for that extra effort. The final factor that I consider is the "what can I get away with" factor. And in some ways, this is the most interesting and controversial. I work with a huge range of different clients. Some are large multinational conglomerates and others are small charities or public sector organisations. Now, in theory, you could argue I should charge all of these clients the same rate, but I don't. The multinational will pay more because they have more. Now, I've never got on very well with the idea of value-based pricing, but I do recognise that I have value and that my value is proportional to the organisation. The larger the organisation, the more that my advice and my work will achieve for them and the more value it will bring them, and so I'm going to charge them more for it. There's a related factor here too. People often equate value with how much they pay you. Therefore, the more I charge them, the more they value what I produce. They'll take me more seriously if they're paying top dollar for me. But what people perceive as top dollar or expensive varies on their situation. My charge out rate would seem cheap to a large multinational, but really costly to a small charity. Hence, I change my rate depending on the client. Now, it's important to note that none of the factors that I use to decide my price ever relate to how desperate I am for work. I don't charge less if I need the work more, and neither do I charge more if I'm busy. That's just a slippery slope for me, and because you end up stinking of desperation. If times are tough, I'd prefer to put my energies into sales and marketing rather than working on a project that might not even break even. I'm conscious that this little audio podcast thing may reflect fairly poorly on me, really. I nearly didn't do it because I feared that I would come across as unprofessional. But I know I'm not alone in taking this kind of approach. We just don't talk honestly about it. In truth, pricing projects is almost impossible to do accurately or entirely fairly. There's just too many variables involved, too many things that can go wrong. All you can do is take your best guess. Also, at the end of the day, pricing is about supply and demand. Pricing isn't a matter of calculating a rate based on the number of hours that you spend or the return you generate. It's your time. And if people are willing to pay more for your time, then you can charge more for it.